referee is reaching into their pocket. What's that card going to be? Ooh, it's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I am your host, Eric Paisley. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
Currently, the leaderboard stands thus for 36-year-old veterans. Leo Messi 1, Dax McCarty 0. A rematch is pending. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
To steal a phrase from a 1998 album, I am feeling strangely fine.
I know, right? It's a weird mix of it. Well, we're going to talk about it. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. So the boys in gold fell finally to Leo Messi and various team members that joined him in the last and final and championship match for the League's Cup. Went all the way to penalties, and it was exciting. John and I were there, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about who the hardest-working player was. That's going to be a hard one. MVP, even harder. And we're obviously going to ask some uncomfortable – this is a loss, so we do have to ask some uncomfortable questions in our next segment. And we'll tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch, because that's why you tune in, kind of. All right, John, let's get right to it. So 1-1, and then we lost on penalties to Miami. So what was your gut reaction? Since I kind of know what your gut reaction is, but why don't you tell me, what was your gut reaction to the match? We were there together.
I mean, it was good. It was good in this sense. We played the game we wanted to play. Mm-hmm. We went out and we played Nashville SC game plan. Not quite Gary Ball, because we were attacking. You know what I mean? It wasn't a boring Wednesday night. You know, the Gary Ball that we use as a malign to which is sometimes
how we
play.
It was a Saturday night special. Yeah,
it was. But we played up to the team. We played well. We looked good. We did see possession, but we were we defended well. We were organized. They didn't have a lot of breaks. I mean, the only goal they got was a moment of just spectacular players being spectacular. You know what I mean? So, you know, and we've had that, we've experienced that before in MLS where someone just gets off a banger that you just go, well, can't do much about that. I mean, it's really what it was, except that just happens a lot more frequently for that messy guy. But no, like, I mean, it went well. We did what we needed to do. We went down and we came back and we kept pressured. Like, it felt like a good game. And, you know, I'm disappointed with the result, but I can't complain about it. Like, there was nothing we did wrong. Like, we missed chances, but you know what I mean? Like, there's no real thing to blame other than we just went to PKs and the coin flip didn't go our way, you know?
Yeah. The overwhelming sense of pride though in the city comes through for me, because it was a lot of Nashville fans in the stands. I mean, a lot. It was a lot more than I expected. I think my expectations were so cynically low that I was just going to see a sea of Barca. And I even said on this podcast, I was going to see a sea of Barca jerseys and Argentina jerseys. And there was a lot there. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There were a lot there, but not as many as like the Atlanta fans that came here for that game. You know, I mean, it was a lot.
No, it certainly wasn't the Club America level by any means.
No. And but
also
loud.
I will say there,
we were
fans
loud.
Were, yeah. That bad.
We were loud. We were loud, and we got the nation, perhaps the world's attention that, you know, Nashville's Geodis Park is a place to play. Everything was perfect that night. The weather was good. It was a little hot, but I was very proud of the city, and I was proud of the ownership group and the team. I just felt a great sense of gratitude because a lot of things came together to put us in this position. And there was a lot of hard work. And, you know, seeing Newton Dominey, the former president of the Roadies, I've got my Roadie shirt on. And, you know, him, you know, emotionally talking about, you know, 10 years ago this year, you know, 10 years ago exactly is when they started the little league with, you know, the little MPSL, you know.
Team that could.
Team that could, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be some time before I came along. But, you know, I don't know. I was very happy. I was very grateful and it was an exciting tournament. You know, it was unexpected. I think that it was just unexpected. We didn't expect to be here, right? We didn't expect to be here on several different levels. I was just very grateful. That's sort of my gut reaction.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. So let's go into our awards. This is difficult. Hardest working player. I don't know. It was such a team effort. But we're going to have to split some hairs. So what do you think? Who was the hardest working in your book?
Well, I watched during PK, so your blood pressure is probably what I'd give it to. Because, man, I just have to talk with me just sitting next to you in the stress of Eric during PKs.
Okay, I do want to take it aside real quick.
I sidetracked us, but
I want to take a run aside real quick. So I do have a health monitor / workout monitor that monitors my strain level.
Mm.
Okay. And yes. So I'm going to give you an example. When I train boxing, okay, when I do a full hour and a half of boxing training, I'm talking jump rope, bag work, pads, everything. I score, let's see, I'm just going to say I score a 14 or a 15. Okay.
Okay.
That's the score I had for my strain level after the match was over. It was the exact same score. So please proceed.
Sorry. No, I'm glad that I brought that up because it was very tough, but we'll get more into that. I agree. Splitting hairs. I think there's a lot to talk about. There are a lot of players, but I think for me, the hardest working, I'm going to give it to Hani because I don't think he quite lived up to the MVP reputation. He was not quite that key in things, but he was trying. He was key in a lot of our attacks, creating possession, trying to move forward. I think there were a lot of other ones I'd like to recognize. Like, I think Shaq Moore was outstanding on the side. Mm. I think Zimmerman was outstanding. They were in that, realm of putting in a lot of effort in that conversation. Obviously, the whole midfield, Godoy and Dax were out there working. But I mean, to me, Hani, it was a combination of if you watched, we did defend deep at times. I mean, we defended with all 11 on our half of the field. There were times, and Hani was a part of that. And you saw him directing Sam, trying to, kind of organize or whatever that, and he was running and he was going all over. Like, you could tell he was not as gassed. There were some Miami players that were gassed at the end of the regular time. He wasn't gassed because he's, takes care of himself and he's younger than a lot of the other players. But to me, it was him. He was all over. He was trying to win the game. He was trying to put his stamp on the game and make it work. It did not work out. He didn't get an assist or a goal or anything to his name, but he was trying. And so for the effort, hardest working to me was Hani.
Mm. I'm going to give it to Walker for several of the same reasons, but I think that leadership, so not to, I guess I'm kind of copycat, but not to copycat too much, but I think that Hani's effort was infectious, and maybe that was that's the team's plan going into this was they're gonna score, they're gonna get up on us, they're gonna do all this stuff, they're gonna dive, they're gonna we got to be ready, we just got to keep playing our game. And it seemed like Walker, he was a threat on corners, he was pushing up, he kept it from being probably three, like I think Walker really anchored. But my hardest working for Walker really is a proxy vote for all of the back line. I mean, I have to name a player for this award, but in reality, it was Shaq, it was Walker, it was Lovitz, and it was McNaughton, who I can't imagine being that age and having to defend Lionel Messi. Okay, so I guess my award is a proxy for the entire back line because I couldn't. But Walker, I think, was dangerous on attack. He had some good headers. Like, he was dangerous in that way that Walker – that's his value add, right? That's what makes him a step above most defensive players, I think. And, so I gave it to Walker. Okay, MVP, tough man of the match vote. What about that award?
No, I'm going to give it – and it in some ways it seems like a reach and some not, but I'm going to give it to Fofa because he was involved in the goal. We've seen the Fofa from last game where he shuffles in and gets that nice roof shot. And then we've seen this goal before where he's hustling in a set piece. But I think the other thing to me that stood out is on our left-hand side, he and Dan played well. But not only that, they did a good job of taking Krameski and Yedlin, trying to take them out of the game. Yedlin did not have a really notable game. You know what I mean? Fofa was constantly pushing forward. And he was also, if you notice, like he and Hani would, sometimes switch positions. Fofa was given a little more freedom to roam offensively. He still was primary in the left. But when it came to the box, he and Surridge and Hani were trying to work together. So I feel like he was given a little more freedom, and he is – I know we started Schaffelberg the last couple games, and I think that was, you know, kind of the formula, and we probably would have done it had he not gotten a knock. But I think Fofa brought in that little bit extra he has over Jacob, where it's not just speed. There's some savvy. There's some dribbling. There's some passing. There's an occasional, you know, received header. Like, I feel like he contributed a lot in keying the ball forward. Our right-hand side, obviously, Shaq and Alex did the thing. You know, I mean, they interchanged with each other, and they got the ball down there, and Shaq did, you know, his beautiful stuff. We still go forward through the right a lot. It tends to be our main channel, but I felt like Fofa made going down the left successful and made an option because of him. Lovitz was okay. Fofa kind of carried it on that side. And again, being in the right place for that time and hustling for the goal, you know, just gives it a little more extra. So I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah, same here. I gave it to Fofa. I thought that typically I don't think he is very strong defensively, but in this match he was. He was much more of a defensive presence in this match. He was a little more controlled in his. He can be a little bit of an agitator, right? He can be a little bit of that, and it's gotten him trouble with the refs and with you know, in card trouble early. But he didn't, and I think he was edgy, but really reined it in. I think that veteranness kind of came through, right? I think that, I'm not sure.
That's a word. That we'll let it go.
Yeah, that's not a word. His veteran presence, you know, really anchored, you know, him in the match because he knew what the stake. I think everybody on the field knew what the stakes were, right? Mm-hmm. This was our first chance to get hardware for this club. They all won it. They're all very competitive. So, I give it to Fofa too for that goal. Obviously, I think that's the best goal as well. I'm not sure. Yeah. We only have the one to choose from. So,
yeah.
All right. Tell you what, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will ask some deeper, somewhat uncomfortable soccer-related questions. Mine's going to be a little bit of a downer, I think. John will share some stats from the match, and we'll tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch, so stay with us. All right, John, well, the game was a disappointment. I tell you what never disappoints. And that is the premium coffee at Tempo Tex-Mex Coffee. And premium coffee's there next to the stadium. Check them out. You can also find them at the matches, section 118. I wasn't able to get over there during the match, and maybe that's why we lost. It was because I didn't have my typical fajita steak tacos. But I don't know, John. I'm willing to. All options are on the table. They are not a sponsor of this pod, but I wish they were, so check them out. All right, John, time for uncomfortable questions. I'm going to go first because mine's a bit of a bummer.
Okay.
Does the missed penalty shot from Leal bench him mentally for the rest of the season?
That's a good... Well, okay, so here's the thing. Let's describe,
again, for the folks at home, because they maybe didn't see the off-the-ball stuff, so...
Right, so after he missed his penalty, which I think everyone probably saw because it was one of the highlights, was the two missed. There's two missed before the end one. I mean, afterwards, he was at midfield with the others, but he was squatted down, and you could tell he was dejected. He felt bad. I think there was some relief when Ulloa missed his because it meant we made it past five and we went, you know, round for round after that. But you could tell afterwards when it was missed that he just kind of collapsed to the ground. He felt like, I think, he felt the weight of the
even
response.
When it went into extras, he was still dead. He was inconsolable. He wouldn't stand up with the other players. So,
like, I honestly kind of wonder if it had gotten back around to him, because I don't know that we have to maintain this the same order. Yeah. But I don't know what kind of headspace he would have been in to take another one if we had to. You know what I mean? Yeah. That would have been interesting. But I mean, to me, the one thing I will say is this: I told you before the game, you know, at best, Leal's going to be kind of like that break in case of emergency thing. You know what I mean? And I think he was, because there were some people, I think Ben Wright mentioned, it looked like Alex might have been complaining of cramps, which, I mean, Alex plays a lot of minutes. So, you know, there's something you've said. He was not having a great game. You know what I mean? Again, even with Monterey, Alex has had some mistakes in the last two games. He's been a little bit exposed for his not great possession qualities. Obviously, his hustle's always there. So I feel like he was brought on because it was a breaking case of glass. Gary wanted a little bit, you know, more. He wanted to change things up and see if maybe we could grab an extra goal and end it, you know, in regular time. I think he's not match fit. I don't think I think if this week in Atlanta, we only see him as a sub. He's definitely not going to start. So to me, I don't know that question is an issue right away, because he's not going to get back into the starting lineup right away, if that makes sense. I don't know that it's going to keep him from that. I think that's going to be a lot of what happens on the training ground. So I guess my answer is because he's not part of the starting lineup and we won't, you know, it was not like we're going to pull him next week because of this. I think he has time to get back into it. You know what I mean? We've seen it before where he's felt disappointment and felt some of that. So I think he has time to recover before we need to rely on him. And I'm hoping that that's enough. However, he does take this stuff hard. So, I think it will linger for a while, but I think because we don't have that necessity and his fitness is not there, he might come back around by the time he's there for that. You know what I mean? And we also saw, like, there was a time where, you know, Alex or Leal, who do you play? You know what I mean? There was some question of that. So I think what happens is he's going to have to prove that he needs a starting job, or Alex is going to have to completely lose it. You know what I mean? And so the question is Leal in enough headspace to earn it back? Hopefully, but I'm not sure.
My fear is that, and along with some poor play, he's had some very inconsistent play.
Yeah.
When we needed him during the Open Cup, we needed him to step up, and he didn't, and he knew it. And you even mentioned on our podcast, his body language was broadcasting he was running back with his head down. You know, that passion and that investment is a double-edged sword. And he is a very invested and a very passionate player, which, you know, endears him to the fans. The reception he got when he stepped on the pitch
was
chilling. People love him as a player, but it, you know, cuts both ways. All right. I didn't mean to be such a bummer, but this one's been gnawing at me ever since we saw the end of the match. So thank you for sharing your thoughts. All right. What you got?
So I'm going to preface my question with this. We all know Surge is better than Teal, period. Yeah. That's a fact. File it away. Do you think it was right to start Surge in this? Because I personally don't believe he's match fit for a full 90.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. He was not match. He was gassed beyond belief by the second half, and it was evident. His cheeks were so red, you could see them from as far away as we were in the supporter section. No, I think we should have stayed. That's, I guess, if I had to second guess anything, and in really it's, you know, it's a moot point in the sum, it's a moot point. But yeah, I think we should have stuck with our game plan, which with starting a Teal and then moving to, and maybe we didn't start Teal because Teal is maybe a more of a card threat. You know, he's more susceptible to getting a card.
But I mean, if you know you're going to sub him out at halftime, I mean, just limit yourself to one card.
Maybe Gary's worried about getting a red in the first half. You ever thought about that?
Maybe that was it. But and to me, hindsight makes this easier. We didn't score in the first half. Well, hell, if you're not going to score, just throw in Teal and not score with Teal. Okay, you can't say that before the game. But Teal's possession, his outlets out of the back, I think to me, that's the biggest key, is you can bomb the ball out and Teal can get on the end of it, which is helpful for the goalie. That helps Panico know that he can throw the, you know, on goal kicks, on clearances, he can bomb it out there. And Teal's got a good chance to get on a header and head it towards anyone in a yellow shirt. You know, Surge, again, still working on that skill. So I feel like there might have been some comfort level, some things like that. I don't know that it would have changed the first half. We still may not have scored. You know what I mean? Again, he was, you know, Teal nor Surge was nowhere near the goal that Messi scored, so it doesn't affect that. I just wonder if it might have been better to have a strong Surge for 45 minutes as opposed to one who kind of overextended himself for part of it, you know?
I think that that might be true, especially in the context of bringing on Schaffelberg so late, because it seems like those two have a connection. If I recall, and we may need to borrow this, but I think Schaffelberg was key in Surge's last goal from the dribble, from the field. Sorry, from the field. So I feel like, I think maybe that would, maybe bringing Schaffelberg and Surge on 70th minute. But again, I kind of don't want to Monday morning quarterback it, because there are so many variables, and the game was just the game. And I think that, I think that overall it was a well-coached game, both sides. I'm going to give, again, I have utmost respect for Tata Martino. I really do. He is a very good coach. I feel like our coaching staff rose, and I think the entire team rose to the occasion. We rose to the challenge, and so it's hard to second guess. It's really, really hard, but it's a fair point. It's a fair question.
All right. So I have a not as uncomfortable follow-up. In 10 days from today, which is Sunday the 20th, we're recording day after game. Mm-hmm. 10 days from today on a Wednesday, we travel to Miami for a midweek game.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your confidence level that we see, and I'll put an asterisk, don't count Panico versus Willis, but do we see these, because these are clearly our top lineups, and I'm assuming this is Miami's top lineup. Do we see both teams line up like this, or do we see some midweek shifting for the MLS game in 10 days?
Who knows? I don't know.
Give me confidence. You think, yes, we see the same team.
Have a lot of confidence. So let me give you the Fineman. I think there is if the question is framed like this, do we see the same lineups in that midweek match?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a percentage. I think there's like less than a 50% chance.
Yeah.
So maybe 40, there's a 45% chance. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel that, especially because, again, we have a game on this coming Saturday, then we turn around for Wednesday. They have a Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, so their schedule's pretty packed. So I agree. I don't think we see necessarily the same lineups. I think we're going to see substitutions. I will tell you this. I hope it is as entertaining of a game as this, but it's not going to be this intensity. Not. That's for sure. Absolutely not.
So. It's not, and it's going to be in Miami, just for the folks at home.
Yes,
it's going to
be in Miami.
So, I'm sorry. It will be in Fort Lauderdale. Apologies.
Ooh, yeah, it's true.
Sorry, we got to make, just correct. In case people want to travel, it's going to be in Fort Lauderdale. Don't go to, if you go to Miami looking for the match, you won't find it. It's in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
John, hit us with some stats.
So I looking at all the stats, to me, one of the things I want to mention, so Messi has played 7 games now in this tournament with Miami. They've, in theory, won all of them, though technically League's Cup is still shady in that this was a tie with a win in PKs. It wasn't actually, but whatever. This is the first game that they have been held to only one goal.
Yeah.
This was the first time someone's held them to one goal. It's not the first time they tied. They tied the 4-4 in Dallas and went to PKs, obviously, so it wasn't the first tie. But this is the first time someone held them to one goal. That is admirable, and I think that shows that we played our game, I think you and I talked about, personally off the pod, but a bunch of other people talk about too, with the Philly game where they came out and tried to adapt to Messi and it wasn't their style and it didn't work. And the whole first half just, went down the toilet. Cause like, look, everyone knows Philly's a good defensive team and they didn't look at that. We went out and did, dictated our defensive kind of will on that, which I think is good. So the other thing I would like to point out is, we had 42% possession, a little bit higher than some of the other games, which was kind of nice for us. Cause we tend to cede possession. More shots. We had more shots on target. So, again, a little bit more positive there. I do find it interesting. They had 500 and change passes. 300 were in their own half. So, in other words, more than half, 60-ish percent of their passes were in their half, which kind of goes to that, yes, you possess the ball, but you were doing a lot of kicking it around the back, which is what we limit opponents to and like to see. So, I think, shout out again, it indicates that we were playing our game where, yes, we'll let you possess, but it's going to be non-dangerous possession. You're going to be kicking it in the midfield, backing it back out, doing that. Now, we also were guilty of doing a good bit of that in our offensive stuff, but that's also how we build up play. You know what I mean? That's the Nashville way. We either burn you on a counter or we take a while to build up until, we get an advantage on one of the sides and kind of shift it forward. So, with them, they do a lot more through the midfield, a lot more creative passing, but we were still kind of, it was nice to see the table. We did kind of rebuff them and kept them out of that. And it wasn't, them camping in our half for 60 plus minutes. I think those are the key things.
One of the rejoiners that Tata had for the Philly match specifically was that he sort of flexed a bit, saying that he really knows how to handle the diamond. So that he's seen it so much in his coaching career that he really knows how to game plan for a diamond. So I feel like playing a bit of 4D chess maybe with Gary, that Gary had to change it up because he knew that Tata knew. You know what I mean? It's like Tata knew that Gary knew that Tata knew. You know what I mean? So that's why I say we really should compliment the coaching staff, because they did a really good job of correctly adapting our game, not to just one player, but to the entire match, to the opponent we were facing.
Because I mean, we did. We limited Busquets behind, you know, because he's usually the guy behind.
He only had that one. He had the one dangerous shot that should have gone in.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We kept him because, you know, when Messi wants to get free, he passes the ball back and lets Busquets kind of create behind him or open up space or rotate it. And we did a good job of pressing and limiting some of those chances. And again, collapsing on Messi, but not overcommitting. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing. You know what I mean? We would put the appropriate amount of people. When he was close to the box, yes, we would put more. But when he was farther back, we would, you know, we'd clog the passing lanes. We would press him, but we wouldn't necessarily overcommit him because we've seen – a couple times a tournament, people overcommit, and all of a sudden, you know, Joseph just runs free behind some defenders, mm-hmm. and, you know, he plunks the ball over the top smartly, and, you know.
Speaking of a stat, and I've been curious about this. Curious about this. How many times has Joseph scored on Nashville?
Well, that's funny you should mention. There are 29 teams in MLS, right? Is that where we are now? 29?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Joseph has scored against all but two of them, in fact. One of them, St. Louis, who he's only played once this year with Miami, and it was a 3-0 drubbing. They didn't do too well in that game. And the other one's Nashville. Now, however, he has not played Nashville only once. He has played Nashville multiple times and has still yet to score on us with Atlanta, with Miami. So, yes, that is the one little shining star is Walker Zimmerman pocketed him, and as of yet, Joseph Martinez has still not scored against Nashville SC, the MLS version, because he did when we were USL. But that's
I think what happened was is that when he scored that goal and he walked through the giant mud puddle that was in front of the goal there at First Tennessee Park, he got the hex on him. He got the hex. That's what I think. That's my theory, and it has absolutely no legs. All right, John, let's talk about who or what needs to get off our pitch. John, lead us off.
Should we start with the plastic Messi fans? Should we start with David Beckham and his just general smarminess? I mean, there's so many things.
There's a little bit sliminess too. That's just my opinion.
There's a whole lot of things that we could pick on for this, but I'm actually going to pick on something I saw from, it appears to be someone who claims to be one of our own fans. Someone started a change.org petition, and I'm not going to say this guy's name. You can find it out there. A change.org petition to saying that we should trade Elliot Panico after his performance. For this.
Oh my God.
So let's review here. We brought in Panico to do PKs in Cincinnati. He blocked Miazga's, which won us the game. He blocked other key ones in the Club America penalty things that won us the game. He played great in the Monterrey game. He played well in this game. I mean, look, we're going to talk about, he wasn't saving the Messi shot, correct? Like, he wasn't going to save that shot. He played well. He guessed wrong a lot on a lot of the PKs, but you know what? Calendar did too, and it's not, you know what I mean, this was clearly a shooter's PK thing, bro. Like, what are you even reaching at and dogging out? Like, that's the thing you and I talked about. This is the part that particularly makes me mad. You and I talked about, I've seen Dax posted about it, Fafa posted about it, Hani posted about it, how proud they are of the way we came together. We had the crappiest run of form, one of the crappiest we've ever had coming into this tournament. We got together, we got on the same wage, we built momentum, we had our mojo flowing. This team played out of their minds the last couple games. To pick on one guy is just like, bro, hey, okay, well, let's talk about some of the mistakes Alex had. You know what I mean? Let's talk about, you know, Shaq tripping over Panico. They could be like, there's a lot of things you could pick out, but like, bro, why are you dogging on anyone on this team after the effort we put forth? We lost in PKs. There's not much more you could ask for. It's going to happen. And you know what? Goalies shouldn't be taking PKs anyway. It should have been solved before that. Ideally, we solved this in 90 minutes when Schaffelberg and Leal came on, and that's how we sealed it. That's where the blame lies to me, not PK. So that dude can get a red card and get off my pitch. But also anyone who – I mean, in general, if you're talking anything about these guys, like, we played our hearts out. It was great. Like, I don't – you can pick out things that went wrong, but I don't think you can blame anyone that was like, this was a failure and this guy needs to be punished for it.
Here's an idea. You got such a strong opinion about it. Why don't you just start a podcast where you talk about it and constantly and see how that does. See what kind of feedback you get. I feel like that player criticizing players, which we have done on this podcast. But I always think we do it with the mindset of I want a better Alex. Right?
And call it like, fire this guy, you know, call for his head. You know what I mean? Like,
There's a team east of us that constantly calls for the firing of this person or that person, and they're now paying three coaches not to coach at their their school.
By the way, I do wonder where all the Gary Out people are. Like, I'd like to go check in with people who've said they're Gary Out. Like, so where are you right now? Let's check in with this. Go ahead.
So mine is from an article, Jeff Carlisle, U.S. soccer correspondent, ESPN, August 20th, byline, Nashville. MLS Commissioner Don Garber said that it is the responsibility of each club, not the league, to take advantage of a certain player at Miami's presence in the competition. Speaking to ESPN's Luis Miguel Echere, ahead of Saturday's League Cup final between Inter Miami and Nashville, Garber spoke on a number of topics, including how to build off the inaugural edition of this tournament. But when asked how, for example, a New York Red Bulls should maximize Messi's presence when Inter Miami comes to the Red Bull Arena on Friday, Garber said, "It's not my responsibility to tell local clubs how to build their fan base. The league is not going to tell them what to do when someone else comes to town." Hey, Don, you get a red card. Shut up. Like no one needs your opinion. Like, we don't need your opinion on this. What you do is you go to ESPN, you say, "We're really excited to have Messi in the league. He's really going to elevate the play of all of our teams, and we're really excited to see what he does in this cup tournament." That's all you got to say, man. Like, shut your big fat mouth. Don Garber, this is probably the first.
If you read between the, go ahead.
Yeah, read between the lines. Don't jump. No, please.
No, if you read between the lines, what am I saying? It is your job. It is your job as the visiting team to promote the host team to promote a team or a player on the visiting team that is coming to try to defeat you. It is your job to promote him. No. How about no?
Yeah. How about no? Unless it's the Zlatan, but maybe okay. But no,
don't have to promote the Zlatan. He promotes himself.
You're welcome. Don Garber. This is the I think this is the first red card I've given to Don Garber specifically by name. So it probably won't be the last. But Don Garber. If you're, I'm sure you're a big fan of the podcast. You can get off my pitch. All right. On that, we're gonna take a break. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I think we've given MLS entity. Vagueness, but not Don Garber specifically.
Yes,
you're correct.
Not yet. This is the first, and it will not be the last. All right, John, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the next match coming up, our score predictions around that match, and what we got wrong. So stay with us. We are back. All right, John, who are we playing, and when are we playing them?
We're going on the road to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and we're going to play the wonderful, always wonderful Atlanta United. Who have been, obviously they're playing today, but have been quite well rested after dropping out fairly early in this last tournament, must be honest.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot they were there.
So. Yeah. They played tonight in Seattle, so they haven't even started yet. So we're going to go play Atlanta. This is the second leg. I believe we beat them 3-1 here in home.
I know. I was at that match.
Yeah, we thumped them good. So.
Almeida got his goal because, they have have the league. The narrative is – I'm sorry.
Apologize. Oh, but was that – am I correct? Like that was the as we talked about the one PK we had up until we got this streak of bad games.
Was,
that was
John.
The only other one we've given.
It was.
That's right. I remember that.
It was there was clearly a narrative, and I don't know. I voiced that loudly to the grumblings of several Atlanta fans around me. You know what? But what if people want to tell us what they think about Atlanta or how they feel Atlanta will perform against Seattle or the match coming up? How could they tell us that?
Well, you can tell us by going onto Twitter at @GOMP_pod, or you can go onto YouTube, but get off my pitch, and you can look us up and give us feedback on either of those. Though I will say, you don't have to use quite all the expletive in talking about Atlanta, but we should maybe tone it down a little because we all know that no one likes them.
We do. We get you. So we speak fan.
We understand.
We understand. And the podcast to listen to also is our friends over at Speedway Soccer. So make sure I just want to shout them out. I thought they've done some really good coverage of the League's Cup so far. So I do want to give Ben and the folks over there a shout out. I've been watching some of the coverage. They've been doing some good work. So we always want to kind of shout out our friends and across the aisle there. All right, John. The folks at home also know that we broadcast live 8 p.m. on Sunday. We're kind of getting back to that routine. But we also tailgated, so we did our tailgate at next to 478 Craighead Street, right there next to the Doggy Daycare, Camp Bow Wow. Camp Bow Wow. And we will tweet out again if we do another tailgate. It was a lot of fun. John saved the day with some tasty burgers, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right, John, the Atlanta match, what's the score prediction for you?
I mean, if we come in hot like we've been doing, 7-1, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking for it. Yeah, yeah.
No, I realistically think we can go in and handle this match. I don't think we're going to see the full lineup. I think, you know, Surge is probably going to get rested, come on in the second half. You know, I think some other things. But we handled Atlanta before. I'm just going to go, let's go to the repeat scoreline, 3-1. We do the same thing on the road. I think we can. We've proved it. Atlanta has seemed – they had a really good streak going at the beginning of the year. But they've kind of hit some rough patches. And the other thing is, we know they score goals, but they also let in a decent amount of goals. So I think we can go in, score a couple, and then do what we do, which is then shut the game down so that they don't score and we preserve our lead. So I'm going to go with 3-1 again, just, you know, for the symmetry of it all.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is a 2-2 match. I think it's a 2-2 away draw. Mercedes is always a rough place to play. Atlanta is motivated to spoil our season. They always are. They're our southern rival. I feel like there's it's especially bad this year for some reason. I don't know why I get that vibe. And so with the form they are in, and maybe I'll look like a fool after we see the results of the Seattle match or not. I don't know. But I feel like it's a 2-2 draw. I think it's going to be a score. I think there's going to be goals in that match. And I do think Surge gets a goal because I think that he's going to be – so I think there's some good takeaways from the match, one being a Surge goal and kind of our offensive power getting back on track. But yeah, I think it's a 2-2.
It will be nice for him to open up his MLS account. You know what I mean? Since technically none of his goals have been MLS goals so far.
I think that he's even a little bit starstruck on how crazy. Like, he walked into a firestorm of just weirdness and craziness.
Can imagine debuting in the circumstances in the Club America game.
You play your opening match in Nottingham against Sheffield United at the Assembly Grounds there, and it's a different vibe. Let's just say it's a different vibe. It's crazy there. Especially since our stadium is bigger than Sheffield. Anyway, let's talk about what we got wrong.
Let's see. I did not have really any notes, honestly. Basically, the biggest things I had here is that we said we were – oh, no, that's the old one. I have nothing.
Okay.
We were good. I was going to say, never mind.
I think the biggest VAR, just to kind of close out let's close out our Leagues Cup account by basically saying we were wrong about the tournament. We were,
absolutely. We take it all back. I think, honestly, here's my takeaway. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I hope next year can live up to this. Now, I don't necessarily anticipate it might be as entertaining for us. Maybe we go out earlier. Maybe we cruise to, a bunch of wins and it's not, as crazy per se. But I do hope overall that the product is as good because, man, it was fire for those first 2 weeks.
I think that it's a great idea to have this type of tournament. And I, as much as it kind of pains me to say so, I want to see it back. That was my first thought after, I guess, the Monterey win. I'm like, we've got to keep doing this. We have to keep this is very exciting because you know, Club America wants a repeat. They want a redo.
Oh, Lord.
They want our number. We have built up some bad blood with some Mexican.
Yeah. I mean,
teams.
We beat them in the friendly and their fans reacted, but it was a friendly. It wasn't a thing, but it's not going to be pretty if we have to play them again for
we
that.
We have angered some Giantes and Monterey and Club America. They want that back.
Monterey is a little more civil and they would like to, get a crack at us again or whatever. But yeah, the Club America one.
As far as civility, Monterey, much more civil. much more civil.
Yeah. I agree. I look forward to it. And to me, the other thing that it brought in is, there has been for a while the CONCACAF club rankings. And I feel like they didn't mean anything because other than when you boil it up and the couple teams that make it to the the CONCACAF Champions Cup or league in its previous iteration last year, play each other, and it kind of sorts out. And then everything else is like, okay, based on LAFC's results, here's all the MLS teams that played it and we'll kind of rate them. Like, it didn't mean anything to compare them because they never played each other. Now that we play each other, this stuff matters. Like, it, I don't know, it kind of, it, to me, it brings in this, all this stuff together, and it makes it a little more interesting and it makes it broader reach. Like, I hate to say it, but I do. I like a lot about it. I want to see it again. I'm going to be excited for it next time. And the biggest lessons, look, for our listeners.
Yeah, yeah, a big VR.
If you can take away one thing,
one thing
from this, do not opt out of your tickets.
Be like Steven Robinson and just forget that you opted in. Like, just,
and then just show up to a game for $20.
On that note, thank you so much at home for listening. Thank you, John. It was a great tournament. We look forward to a good run in MLS. So we'll talk to you then.
See you next week.